Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be learning Perek Lamed Beis, the 32nd chapter of the book of Iyov. And this is really a turning point in the book of Iyov. Up till now we've had the narrative of what happened to Iyov. Then we had this incredible dialogue backwards and forwards between Iyov and his three friends. Backwards, forwards, in three rounds. Iyov makes his final speech and now there's a stopping point. For the next few prokim, from Perek Lamed Beis to Perek Lamed Zayin, are going to be the speech of a new character. His name is Elihu ben Berachel, who's going to give the next few chapters as four speeches before HaKadosh Baruch Hu steps in. So it's a turning point. We haven't heard from him beforehand. He wasn't introduced to us beforehand. Let's try to appreciate this. Our specific Perek Lamed Beis, is essentially Elihu's introduction of himself. He's explaining why it is that he's kept quiet up till now and why it is that he has to say something now. So that's our introduction to understanding this Perek. Let's take a look at the Perek inside. It's 22 psukim long. The first pasuk tells us an unusual thing. It's actually a narrative as opposed to a conversation describing what so-and-so said to so-and-so. It's now describing what someone did. And it says, Vayishpasu shloshes ha'anashim ha'ele me'anois es Iyov. And the three men stopped responding to Iyov, kihu tzadik ve'enov, because he was righteous in his eyes. So they keep quiet because of his righteousness. Why is it that they are keeping quiet? The Malbim says because at this point they agree to his claims. They realize that he is righteous. What he has said is true. The Malbim does present another possibility, and that is that Kiyut Tzadik Be'enov, not that necessarily they agreed with him objectively, but they saw there was no way to convince him, so there was no point in arguing any further. Therefore, this way of looking at it is a little more subjective, a little more in a certain sense, rather than being defeatists, they just don't think it's worth their energy necessarily to continue. At this point enters our character Vayichar Af Elihu ben Berachel Habuzi b'mishpachas Ram b'Iyov. So Elihu enters and he gets angry. He gets angry with Iyov because he thinks that he is more righteous than God, or he's more justice than God, and he gets angry with the three friends because he was made Iyov evil when they didn't really listen to him. That's what we're told here. So a few things we just hear about is we hear that he is called Elihu as the son of Berachel. We hear he's the Buzite, and he's from the family of Ram. A lot of interesting information. We'll try to get back to it at the end of the Perek as to try to place who he is and what he is about. But he gets angry on both sides. Notice that it's not that he's taking sides, Iyov, you're right, and friends, you're right. He really actually gets angry with both sides. It's interesting, by the way, to contrast Pasuk Gimel and Pasuk Aleph, to notice that it describes him as the three men have kept quiet. They're no longer his friends, but now in Pasuk Gimel describes him as the friends again. Interesting, that relationship between Iyov and those other individuals. Eliphaz, Bildad, and Sofer, more complex over here. So he gets angry with both of them. Notice, by the way, that each of the three friends had a different angle at accusing Iyov. They essentially basically assumed, the basic assumption was that Iyov was incorrect in some way in his life, and that's why he got this. They did not recognize that this was a nisayon, this was a test, without there being a negative action. And therefore, Eliphaz says there must have been an egregious sin in your past. Sofer says there must have been a hidden sin, which we don't know about. Or Bildad said there's going to be some sort of imperfection in you, which is being fixed by this process in the future. But their basic assumption was that you did or have done something wrong, and this is to correct you. They did not understand this as a nisayon, which is why he's getting angry with him. The anger that he throws at Iyov is because you should know better than thinking that your human perspective is correct. He gives an example, the Malbim, in his scientific perspective, which he shares many, many times, is, you imagine an engineer. And the engineer looks up in the sky and he sees there's a sun. So he says, you know what, the sun is the size of a small coin. But after a little bit of realization, after a lot of research, he realizes the sun is much, much bigger than the Earth. Much, much bigger than the Earth. And therefore he can show through his calculations that what seems to the naked eye to be one thing is not necessarily that thing. So a person has to have the humility to understand what looks like A to him is not necessarily A, it could be B or C. So you have to have the humility, Iyov, not to say that you are more righteous or more just than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, where the Tanakh tells us why it is that Elihu did not jump in Pasuk Dalad to Pasuk Hey, we told Elihu, Chikos Iyov Bidvorim, Ki Zakenim Hemomim Menul Yomim. The other friends and Eov himself were much older. They were much more respected and mature than Elihu, and he therefore waited until this point, which is explaining why he was not at this point in time. But now, at this point, he jumps in, he gets angry, and he makes a few points in the learning today, in our perek. He makes four basic points. Point number one is Psukim Vav to Yud. In this section, he says, you know what, he explains that he had a misconception about wisdom. He used to believe, says Elihu, that wisdom was a function of experience, and therefore the more you're around on earth, the more experience you have. The more experience you have, the more wisdom you must have. But he said that's not true. He says, I'm sorry, I've looked at this debate, and I see that in the end of the day, lots of years do not amount to lots of wisdom. And therefore, he says, the real way to access wisdom is through Ruach Hashem, through the Spirit of God. If you're able to tap into the meridian of the spiritual, if you're able to listen to the real sensitive nature of the spiritual information in this world, you can arrive at truth. If you do not have that, you're not going to get it, which means that even a young person may have more wisdom than an old person, because the old person may have experience, but they do not necessarily have wisdom. And it's really the spirit that a person's endowed with. If they're going to tune into it, if they're sensitive enough to it, that's where they'll find wisdom. It's not because that you're old. There are many old people who have not acquired wisdom. That's what Elihu is saying, which is why he's essentially accusing those who came before him of not necessarily tapping into that experience. And he goes on in his second point, Psukim Yud Aleph to Yud Beis, where he says, you know, I listened to what you had to say. I listened. I patiently waited till the end of what you said. I didn't interrupt. I was listening so carefully to everything you said. And this is what and this is what I heard. Point three, Psukim Yud Gimel to Tezayin. He says, Pentoim Ru Matsanu Chachma. You thought you arrived at wisdom in your arguments. Kel Yedfenu V'la Ish. The primary argument was that it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing this to you, and it wasn't a human being. And a human being is different to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is a seismically different to anything a human being would be doing. So Eov, keep quiet. Why are you complaining? There must be something more to this. So, but at the end of the day, that didn't work. Eov wasn't listening to you. In fact, you yourselves realized this, because slowly Tzofer dropped out. Even Bildad's speech became softer in tone and shorter. And finally, Eliphaz didn't respond. And I waited, maybe you weren't speaking anymore, he says in Pasuk Design. But there was nothing else to say. So at this point in time, I realized your arguments, your Tana Nitzachas was no longer there. And therefore, he says, I have to say something. Ene afani, pasuk yud zayin techov beis, the end of the parak, the fourth and last point. I have to say something. Afani echelki achaveh da'adei afani. I have something to say. I have something to contribute, because clearly what you are saying is not contributing. And therefore he goes and he gives this sort of metaphor of being like this a wine barrel which has been fermenting and has been sealed shut, and you need to open it to release the gas. He says, I have so much built up in me and I'm not able to express it. I need to tell you what I think. I need to tell you, because you're not right and you're not right. I need to be able to say this. So this is the end of the perek. You can get a sense of the frustration that Elihu has been experiencing. You can get a sense of the fact that he doesn't believe that there's been real communication over here, or effective communication. One point I'd like to just address in this perek, and that is who is Elihu? We know a number of details about him, where he's told he's the son of Barachel, and we know that he is Habuzi, the Buzite, and we know he is from the family of Ram. None of those names necessarily ring a bell, or do they? So it is interesting, if you go back to Sefer Bereishis, Buz is one of the grandsons of Nachor, in perek Chof Beis Pasuk Chof Aleph, and that means to say that he is a he is from the Abrahamic family, he's from the family of Hebrews. And as the Vilna Gaon points out, that all of these characters, the Vilna Gaon attributes to being somewhere in the family of Avraham Avinu. So even though we may not be dealing with people who are at this point Hebrews, they're not necessarily of the faith of Abraham, but they are nonetheless influenced by Avraham Avinu and Sarah. So the Anefesh Asher Asu B'Charon, we're talking about people in certainly the time frame according to many of the Mephoreshim, and certainly in the area according to the Mephoreshim of Abraham, of Sarah, but they're not necessarily, it's not a Jewish Sefer, not a Hebrew Sefer per se. The ideas are monotheistic. You see the impact of HaNefesh Asher Asu B'Charon, the monotheistic impact, the these conversations that you can have, perhaps pagan neighbors who are having a conversation about monotheism, who are having a conversation about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in their lives, or how to square Tzadik V'Ra'alai V'Rasha V'Tovlai, which is part of this remarkable conversation which is going on, the universal conversation. It is interesting, though, to note that Yerushalmi, the Talmud Yerushalmi in Sota Perek Hay, has a debate as to who Elihu is. And Chazal presents two opinions. One is that the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, Elihu Zehu Bilam. This is referring to Bilam, which means to say, and it goes on to explain why Barach El, because he wanted to curse Israel and ultimately turn to a bracha, and all, the whole fascinating explanation as to Buzi and Barach El and Ram, and all the how these terms square with the nomination of Bilam. It's fascinating according to this, that Bilam then, according to this interpretation of Rabbi Akiva, was well-intended at the beginning of his career before he turned sour to the nation of Israel. However, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says it cannot be. Cannot be that a person who's so righteous, because we're going to see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to agree to a lot of the ideas that Elihu is going to put forth, implicitly at least. And so it cannot be that that such a tzaddik is being attributed to such a rasha. He says you'll get up to Shemaim and you'll know and Rabbi Akiva, and you'll see that Elihu is not him. He will not be. Elihu is going to come to you in Shemaim and say, I'm not him. That's not how it works. So it cannot be Bilam. Rather, it's Rabbi Elazar, it says Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, it's Yitzchak, the son of Avram Avinu. And he explains the name Buz and Ram. Ram is the family of Avram, which is elevated, and Buz because he was disgraced, because he was set as a sacrifice. It's Yitzchak Avinu. So Rav Shimon Schwab, in his commentary on Iyov, asks, what's the Shoresh HaMachlokes? What is the foundation of this dispute? And he says a very powerful insight that should help us understand this very complex time. And that is the following. Is that these issues which Iyov is raising are universal issues. The issue of Tzadik V'Ra'alai, if you are monotheistic, you have to worry and you have to try to understand how it is that the righteous suffer, the evil prosper. These are really tough questions. And a lot of the permutations that have been raised by Tzotzer, Bildad, and Eliphaz are all very significant issues which we express in different ways, perhaps in different parlance today, but they are the issues that we really deal with even ad hayom. And the question that perhaps is at the source of the debate over here between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is, how universal is the answer? Is the answer only particularistic to the nation of Israel, or perhaps the Hebrews at this point? We don't have Israel yet. Or is it something which is universal to the rest of the world? And that is the debate over here. Because who is the greatest student of Avram Avinu and Sarah who within the nation? Is, of course, their son, Yitzchak. Meaning, is the answer that's going to be the correct answer against those who are outside of the faith, against Eliphaz, Bildad, and Sofer, is it going to be from within the faith, from a person by the name of Elihu attributed to the greatest student within, which is ultimately Yitzchak? Or could it be even the greatest disciple from without? Who's the greatest disciple? Who's the greatest person influenced by the teachings of Avram Avinu, according to this Gemara, Rabbi Akiva's perspective, is in fact none other than Bilam himself, the greatest prophet to be to the nation, the nations of the world, which makes a lot of sense. So who is it? Is it the scion of Abraham from within or without? Can these questions be answered particularistically or universally? And that's the debate. This now lays us the framework for understanding what Elihu is about to explain. We're going to see four speeches of Elihu, one after the other, as he addresses four critical issues. We'll start with that as we start Perek Lamed Gimel tomorrow. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.